46th Psalm, it tells us, well, we start with the first verse. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah, come and behold the work of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still, know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Salah. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day, Lord. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this spirit that's here tonight, Lord. Like we said, Lord, you're here in a calm and an assuring way for us, Lord. And the singers, how they just done an outstanding job, Lord, with their songs, Lord. We appreciate them coming and singing praises unto you, Lord. And we pray, Lord, right now as we're about to dig into your word, Lord, we're about to open it up, Lord. I don't know what direction we're going to go, Lord. I got a few notes written down here, Lord, but we're not real sure what you're going to bring out of it, Lord. So we're just going to mind you with our whole heart, Lord. Lord, as you know, it's not the message that I came in here originally wanting to preach, but I believe this is the message that you're wanting to preach here tonight, Lord. Somebody needs to know, Lord, that you're still a refuge in their life, Lord. Lord, that you're still a present help in their time of trouble here tonight, Lord. Lord, we pray, Lord, that you would just be with us, Lord. Help me, Lord, just move to the side, Lord, that you would hide me behind the shadow of the cross, Lord, that I'd be able to preach your word with authority and with power, Lord. Lord, a message, Lord, that'll go out, Lord, and it'll touch the hearts of the ones here, Lord. Lord, and we pray that you would just be with us all. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in my life, Lord. Lord, the move that we feel, Lord. And we pray, Lord, as we've prayed multiple times here, Lord, in the past few weeks, Lord, Satan's been trying to bring me down, bring my family down. Lord, we pray, Lord, that he'd be off my back for the remainder of this week, Lord, that we'd be able, Lord, to focus on this revival and the job that you have me to do here, Lord. Lord, just be with us all, Lord. If there be one here that's lost, Lord, I don't know the hearts of anyone here, Lord, but you do, Lord. Lord, you and the person that's here knows if they're lost, and we pray, Lord, tonight would be the night that they would get saved, and we pray that you just be with us. Lord, we'll give you the praise and the glory for all things. In Jesus' sweet and precious name we pray. Amen. If I was to entitle the message, I believe it would be still and let God move. And as you can tell, we're going to try to probably take our main text from the 10th verse, and it says, be still and know that I'm God. But as I was looking into my Bible here and looking at some footnotes and what it was saying, I like what it says here. God is always there to help, providing refuge, security, and peace. God's power is complete and his ultimate victory is certain. He will not fail to rescue those who love him. Hey, I'm here. The Bible tells us in I believe it's the 34th Psalm. I was old, but now I'm young, and I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. I'm here to tell you here this evening, we serve a God, and just as it says here in this passage of Scripture in two different occasions, the God of Jacob is our refuge. The God of Israel, the God of Abraham, the God of Jeremiah and Isaiah, the God of Peter and Paul, the God of John, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Hey, I'm thankful here this evening, Josh, that he's still my refuge. Hey, when I'm not sure what tomorrow holds, when I'm not sure what's going on with the next day of my life, I thank God that I know who holds tomorrow. I know. Hey, this is the 10th verse of this psalm. It's a verse of assurance. It's a verse of love. A verse, I believe it's a verse of calmness. Hey, God wants us to know here, whatever Satan thankful that the ones that are here are here. And maybe if we're on Facebook, we'll get something to them people too. Hey, but I'm here to tell you here this evening, hey, God, He's wanting us to know whatever Satan throws our way, whether it be the rest of that, He's going to try to throw things in your way to not make it tomorrow and Saturday night. Hey, I don't know the revival may continue into next week. We don't know what God has in store. Hey, but He may discourage you in ways to not make it the rest of the week. But whatever Satan throws your way, we need to know that God is still our refuge. Hey, God is our very present help in time of trouble. I'm thankful for what the Bible tells me in Matthew 8, 23 through 27. It tells us there in that passage of Scripture, Josh, that Jesus, He fell asleep on a boat. It says that a storm came. And it tells us there that Jesus was in the under parts of the ship. And it says the disciples went to Him and said, Master, Master, carest not that we perish. And He stood up and He spoke and the winds and the seas calm. Hey, I want you to know that oftentimes Jesus has more trouble calming His disciples than He does the storm that's in their life. Jesus has more trouble calming down, I'm just using Steve as an example, calming down Steve than the circumstance that Steve may be in. Hey, oftentimes we get so worked up and so carried away, and I think that God's up there laughing at us. Say, hey, you put your trust in me. What in the world are you thinking right now? What are you doing? Trust me. Trust me in this time. Hey, I split a sea for the children of Israel. You don't think that I got you in my hand? Hey, I'm here to tell you we serve a God. Hey, I'm thankful to know, hey, that I serve a God that's there for me when it feels like I'm all, hey, when I can wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning, I know that I can wake Courtney up and she'll help me with whatever trouble, but with that baby now, she may be a little upset. We was going to be the type of parents that the baby wouldn't sleep with us, but he's in our bed more than I am, I think, anymore. Right in Courtney's on. Hey, there ain't nothing like a love for a mother has for a child. I will say that I've learned in the past 4 months. Hey, that baby will sleep right there in her arms all night, and if she's got to get up and use the bathroom or make a bottle or whatever, she'll pass him over to me, and he tosses and turns and scratches my chest and everything else, and I pass him back to her, and he just goes back to sleep. I don't understand. What I'm saying is I know that Courtney will help me all she can. I can call Greg and Tammy. I know that they'll help me at 3, 4 o'clock in the morning. They'll pray for me. My mom and dad, whoever it may be. My pastor, I could call even Josh, Tom, whoever. Hey, but they may be inconvenienced. But I can call one that's never inconvenienced. Hey, He never cares to answer the call for you. He never cares to open up His line for you. The line's been open since the temple veil's been rent. I'm thankful when Christ died on the cross that it was rent. Hey, we have direct access to the throne room now. Direct access. We can call on God anytime we want. But as we dig into this 10th verse, be still. I believe, Josh, that when God's telling us to be still, He's wanting us just to listen for a second. Listen to Him. We get so distracted and we get so busy and so caught up in this world. I feel like that we forget just to sit down and listen to God. Listen to what He has to say to us. We don't care to ask, but we need to sometimes just sit down and listen to what God has to say to us. Dig into His, hey, when we pray, that's how we talk to God, but when we read the Bible, that's how God talks to us. Hey, we need to listen and see what God has in our life. It's very important to listen for God's guidance. In James 1:19, it says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak, slow to wrath. In Luke 11:28, it says, but He said, yea, rather blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Hey, we're supposed to, as Christians, we're supposed to listen before we speak. If I would have came up here on my own account and tried to speak God's word without listening to him back there. Josh and Greg and Jacob know it's an inconvenience when God changes your message. I've been working on this message that I'm calling a humdinger of a message. I've been working on it for about 3 days. And I was really excited, but when God changes it, it's kind of, I ain't going to lie to you, it felt a little inconvenient. I was worried. I was rubbing my legs back there in that seat. And if I would have got up and walked around the church, y'all would have thought that I was walking because I was praising the Lord, but I was really walking because I was worried. Hey, but I'm here to tell you if we don't listen to God, if we don't do what he would have us to do, hey, our life is going to be a whole lot more confusing, a lot more, congested. Hey, but if we listen to God and let him clear the path before us, how much easier our life is. How much easier it is for him to direct our path. Another thing I feel like that being still can help us I feel like that just as us as Christians, and y'all may not agree with me, but that's all right. I'm the one up here and you're not. We need to switch off our phones a little bit. Hey, being still, I don't believe we can't expect to get answers from God when we're looking at our phone more than we are the Word of God. Hey, if we're really seeking God's face and we're really trying to get answers and results from God, social media shouldn't be the first thing that you look at in the morning. It should be the Word of God. And I wasn't meaning that in a mean way, but y'all know what I mean. It becomes, before I know it, Josh, I didn't have a Facebook until my baby was born, and I want to just post pictures of him and brag on him for the guys that I work with. But it's so easy for me, Josh, just to pick it up and look at it before I do anything else at the start of my day, before I pray, before I read the Bible. I'm talking to myself here. Joe, it becomes easier for me to pick up my phone and look at the internet rather than it does to read the Word of God. And we wonder why our lifestyle is in nothing but turmoil. We wonder why we don't feel like God's hearing our prayers, and he is. He is hearing them, but oftentimes we feel like that he's not. Why? Because we're putting other things before him. We're so far away from God, we can't hear him talk to us. Another thing that I feel like we need to do is just, and I had this message, I didn't sit down here and write this out in 5 minutes. I was looking through the Bible, and I flipped to this psalm, and it was all in God's plan because I had this message in my Bible. So another thing we need to do is just stop talking. I'm saying we need to be a witness for God, but sometimes we need to stop talking in general and listen to God. We need to stop talking. How many of us say when God tells us to testify, if Greg testifies, I'll testify? If Joe stands up and testifies, I'll testify. If Judy gets up and sings a song, I'll sing a song. Hey, he's not calling you, Judy, to sing the song. He's telling you to. Hey, if we need to stop talking back to God. I know that my whole life, and I'm sure everyone here, they've talked back to their parents before. Hey, but I got in trouble for talking back to my mom and dad. A quick funny story, how old was I when me and Courtney? I was 24, I think, when me and Courtney got married. I was 23. I was still living at home, and I was in the kitchen. My mom was cooking, and I was just yapping at her about something. Something ignorant, probably. But anyways, she was just sitting there. My mom was one never act like she paid attention. She was just sitting there cooking or whatever, and I turned my back for a split second. She took a meat tenderizer and threw it at me. Hit me right in the chest with it. Right smack, and I mean, it bruised, it hurt. What I'm getting to the point is, hey, I got in trouble for talking back. Even as a 23-year-old, I got in trouble for talking back to my mom and dad. Why do we feel like that we're entitled to talk back to God when he's telling us to do something? When he's wanting us to do something for him, why do we feel entitled to talk back to God? I'm here to tell you that talking and gossiping about people is the church's biggest downfall. That's why we can't get a lot of people in the church. It's because the church members has hurt other people. Y'all see what I'm saying? The Bible tells us in James 3, it tells us there that our tongue is as a deadly viper. It's a viper. We can't control it. Words can hurt someone else more than anything else. That's why the backbiting and the I wasn't wanting to go here, but the Lord's telling me to. The backbiting and the gossip and the things that goes on in the church. I'm here to tell you we're hurting the church more than we're helping it when we do that. We need to be still and let God. Hey, if you don't like, and I'm just going to use this for an example. I don't know if this is even a conflict. If you don't like the way somebody dresses to church, talk to God about it instead of your brother or sister in Christ. If you don't like the way that, if you don't like the way that a church does, and I ain't talking about just here at Rocks Lane, I'm talking about everywhere. If you don't like the way a church does something, talk to God about it and don't go running and bringing down a church's name. Why? Because that's not only hurting you as a Christian, that's hurting the body of Christ. That's hurting. I go to Lone Oak Church of God Mission. And y'all go here at Rocks Lane and Gospel Tabernacle. Jacob back there goes to Community Chapel. But that doesn't matter because we're all one body of Christ if we're saved. And I don't intentionally go down there when I'm driving a nail and hit my finger on purpose to hurt it. So we shouldn't intentionally hurt our brothers and sisters in Christ, because when we do these things, we're intentionally hurting them, and we shouldn't be. As we get on into be still and know, I feel like the Josh and know means that we need to stop doubting God. How often do we doubt God? Matthew 14, I was thinking about when Peter walks on the water, and it was a Peter had to have faith to step out on the boat. A lot of people want to dog Peter and talk bad about him for denying Christ and stuff. But this man stepped out on the water toward Jesus. But when he started to doubt, he began to sink. When we start doubting in our Christian walk, things is going to begin to sink in our life. If you know God can do it, quit doubting that he can't. We know that God could save our lost loved ones. We know that God could send a revival through this valley. We know that God can make this church plumb full if he wants it to be. Quit doubting him and just trust in him here this evening. We're such a negative people, and I've been called a pessimist my whole life because I look at the bad in all the situation. That's not something that I should be doing. I should be looking at the good and everything, but I guess it's just the way that I am. I remember at the old church, Corey preached a message when before me and Courtney started going to Lone Oak. He said, he wanted everybody, and this is when I first started coming around, so I didn't want y'all to think I was a pessimist. But he said, if I laid I remember it plain as day, he said, if I laid a $100 bill down on this altar, and then he said, how many of y'all is a pessimist in the church? And there wasn't a single person but Emily Muck that raised her hand. Or Emily Wallace now that raised her hand. All of us, you ain't going to sit there and tell me that all of us in that church house look at the good and everything. But he said, if I lay a $100 bill, all of y'all is going to have a good reason to get up there and get it. And then he took the mic over to Emily. I don't know if any of y'all remember this or not, but I do. And he said, Emily, what would you say? And she said, I couldn't get around the people. Something in that nature. It would be too hard for me to get through to the crowd. Instead of saying, there's a free $100 bill up there for me to get, but I'm going to try to turn my back and go away from it. That's what we often do. We look at the bad in the situations instead of, God's given us the freest gift that we could ever have, and all he's wanting us to do is to come up and take it. But we want to look at the bad in it instead of the good that comes out of it. We need to stop doubting, and we need to have faith. Sometimes all Christians need to do is have faith like the old timers had. I believe as Christians we need to get back to the old time way. How many of us could stand before a sea with a staff and stick it down in the ground and the sea part because we know God's going to part it? Moses did. Moses done that. How many? And I know this isn't a typical, what we're going to call a revival message, but it's what the Lord laid on my heart, so I'm going to give it to you. How many of us can say that, we'll just go back to Peter. Jesus says, come out onto the water. How many of us is going to take a step out on that water? How many of us is going to have the faith? Hey, but Peter did. And we'll even come up into the 20th century with my grandpa. My dad's dad grew up very poor, we'll say. He wasn't blessed physically like we are today, but he was blessed spiritually in a big way. He said that, I know I don't typically tell stories in my message, but for some reason God just want me to be calm here this evening, if that's all right. My papa, they lived down in this old holler. My dad's told me this story multiple times, and y'all may have even heard it before. He said that they were out of money, didn't have anything else to eat. He said on his way out down the road, he was going to go try to find a job or something to do, try to make a little bit of money for him and his mom to eat. He was an only child. My grandpa's dad left him before he was even born, so it was just my great-grandma and my grandpa that lived together. He was going to go try to make a few bucks doing something just so they could have food for the next day. He said he stopped by the church. There was as y'all know, back in the old times, there was a church that seemed like every couple miles because people had to actually put an effort in to go to church. So he said he stopped by the church and he opened it up. They left it unlocked all the time, of course. We can't do that today, but he left the church unlocked. He went in and prayed. He said he got out of the church and went back down to the road and looked, and there was a horse and buggy coming up the road. And it was this man. He said, here's $50 that you let me borrow 3 years ago. Hey, don't tell me God's not. $50 back in the 20s and 30s was a lot of money. Don't tell me that God's not real. My grandpa prayed, and that was just in my, and I'm sure y'all all have y'all's own situations from the old saints of God in your life, how God provided for them, but that's just one situation in my life. Hey, my grandfather was out of food, and he prayed for God for a way. Hey, and I believe that he didn't even pray for God just to hand him money, and I wasn't there, of course, but I believe he may have just prayed for somebody to pay him a little bit to mow their grass down or just to earn some money. But he walked out of that church and a guy handed him a $50 bill that he owed him from 3 years ago. Don't tell me that God's not. If we even had the faith as the people in the 20th century had, how many of us, hey, if I don't have a box of Little Debbie's in my pantry, I'm getting all tore up. But that ain't counting all the other stuff that I got in there that I'm just too lazy to cook. How many of us are like that, that if we were out of food, if we were really living like they did, that we would have the faith that God was going to provide for us? Hey, but they did. We need to get back to that, church. The faith, the grain of a mustard seed, is all God tells us that we could have, and we could tell that mountain to be moved, and he would move it. The faith, the grain of a man. Don't let Satan waver your faith here this evening. Now, hey, another thing I feel like that we need to know, be still and know. Another thing we need to know, and this is important for the rest of this week, is that we need to know that we're in the center of God's will. As in Jeremiah 18, as you read there about the potter and the clay, it tells us that the potter would put the clay up on the, I've done a lot of research on this. It said that the potter would put the clay up on the wheel and he'd begin to work it. And that clay had to stay in the center of the potter's wheel for it to become a vessel that was worth having. Hey, if you want to be a vessel for God that's worth having, you've got to be in the center of his will. You've got to be in the center of God's will, because he's the potter and we're the clay, and he's put us up on his wheel, and he's working us and forming us in what he wants us to be. But we've got to be willing to let God work on us. And the last thing is to know that I am God. We just need to know. I feel like that oftentimes we forget how powerful our God really is. God is in control. We serve a God that makes this earth spin in orbit all the time. We serve a God that hung that moon and the stars and the sun in the sky. What makes you think that he isn't going to take control of your life? Hey, if you're here, and like I said, I feel like that we needed a God laid this message on my heart because I felt like, Josh, we need a message of assurance here tonight, a message of somebody may be going through something and they just need a little bit of uplifting here tonight. Hey, you serve a God that spins this world in orbit. He can take care of your problem. He could take care of your problem. He could take care of you. God is an, we've said it in 46:1 there. It tells us that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Whatever may be going on, God is there, and he will help you. If you flip over into Psalm 62, verse 6 through 7, it tells us, he only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Hey, I'm thankful here this evening that I got a refuge in God. I got a refuge in God. It tells us in Isaiah 43:2, it says, when thou passest through the waters, I'll be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. Then when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall a flame kindle up on thee. Hey, God is in control of your life here this evening. He can take care of whatever little, it may be a big problem to you, but it's just a minute problem to God. He can take care of it here this evening. Hey, Judy starts playing softly here and your pastors come to extend the invitation. I'm thankful here above all thing else. Listen to me. Yes, God's a very present help in time of trouble. I know I've said that a lot. He's my refuge. But Josh, above all things else, I'm thankful that God is my salvation. He is my salvation. It tells us in Isaiah 12:2, it says, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Hey, I'm thankful here this evening. There ain't a man, and we're just going to use Greg for an example, there ain't a man named Greg Wallace that can get me into heaven. Believe me, I know Greg, if he could, he would try, but he can't get me there. There ain't a man named Josh Scarberry that can get me into heaven. I consider Josh a friend down here on this earth. I believe if he could get me there, he would try, but he can't. But there's only one, his name is God, Jehovah, Jireh. He's got a bunch of names. Jehovah, Raha. I mean, he's such a big God that he just says, I am that I am. You can't put a limit on God. Buddha can't get me to heaven. Muhammad can't get me to heaven. I like what Tom said about when we was here for the Lawrence Halley singing, I believe it was. Tom said, Buddha can't do anything for you. I believe he needs to go on a diet. Hey, Muhammad, he can't do anything. You see here in 1 Kings chapter 18, if the Lord doesn't intervene, we'll probably be there sometime this week. But we see there in 1 Kings 18 that there was some men that tried to put some faith in a God named Baal. He couldn't provide for them. There's one God that can provide for you. And he's God Almighty here this evening. He's got a 24/7 open line. The good news is I don't have to be at church, Josh, to feel his presence. You can call on God. If this message starts speaking to your heart as you're laying in bed tonight, you can call on God and he can talk to you there. You can talk to him there. Be responsible when I get to. I'm responsible for every word that I say in this pulpit. Josh is responsible. Greg's responsible. And there may be other preachers here, but this is just the four I know's here tonight. We're responsible for everything we say in one of God's pulpits. But here's the thing: we're not responsible for your soul. If you're here tonight under my voice, you are. You're responsible for making sure you go to heaven. Yes, I'm responsible for giving you the word, and yes, there may be some blood on my hands one day from where I didn't witness to somebody when I should have, Josh. But if you're here with me tonight and God's talking to you and you got something going on in your life, I can't take care of that. Only you and God can. Josh can't take care of it. Only you and God can. Greg can't take care of it. only you and God can. Hey, we never want to have a message without giving an invitation to the lost. That's the main reason that Christ came, was really the only reason Christ came, was for the lost to have a way to heaven. Hey, listen to me. If you're here and you're lost, I don't know the hearts. I looked around before I got up here, and I don't open my eyes when I preach because I'm like a squirrel. But it looked like to me, I've known most of y'all here for the last, me and Courtney's working on 7 years. I've known most of y'all here for the last 7 years, and all y'all look all right. But I'm here to tell you, there's been people come to church their whole life and look all right, but they're still lost when they die. Hey, if you're here and you're lost, listen to me. If you don't know who God is, you can tonight. You will realize God is God one day. I wrote these down back there. We're going to realize, Josh, that God is God one day. Whether we want to or not, we're going to realize that. It tells us that every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that He is God. Hey, if you're here and you're lost, come and be saved. You may have a front on that everybody thinks you're all right, but the truth is only you and God knows if you're all right or not. I don't know, Josh, Greg, Pastor Tom, none of y'all, nobody knows here this evening if you're all right with God, but you and God here this evening. Hey, if you're going through something, I know a God that can rescue you from it. Hey, He can take a situation that's bad and make it real good. He can, Josh preached a wonderful message. It was several years ago, probably in the first couple years of Josh preaching out to church. He is the lily of the valleys. It doesn't say He's the lily of the valleys. Yeah, you may have just came out of a valley last week and you're on the mountaintop and you feel like you're going back down into another one. Guess what? He's still the same God that was the lily in the last valley. Because He's in everything, every situation that we're in. Hey, if you're here and God's not your first priority, you'll enjoy the rest of this week a whole lot more if He becomes your first. You'll enjoy it a whole lot more. I promise you that. As they get a song, you just need to come pray about something. You come pray. As Josh, Greg, come extend the invitation. If you need to come pray, come pray. Hey, if you're lost, come and be saved.